Well, we turn back to our reading of Exodus now. So we're in Exodus chapter 6, if you would turn to it. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he shall let them go, and under compulsion he shall drive them out of his land." God spoke further to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name Lord I did not make myself known to them. And I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourned. And furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." So Moses spoke thus to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and cruel bondage. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the sons of Israel go out of his land." But Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, "Behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? For I am unskilled in speech." Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, and gave them a charge to the sons of Israel and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These are the heads of their fathers' households: the sons of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. These are the sons of Reuben, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, and Jamin, and Ohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. These are the families of Simeon. And these are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations: Gershon, and Kohath, and Merari. And the length of Levi's life was 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni, and Shimei, according to their families. And the sons of Kohath, Amram, and Ishar, and Hebron, and Uziel. And the length of Kohath's life was 133 years. And the sons of Merari, Mahli, and Mushi, these are the families of the Levites, according to their generations. And Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the length of Amram's life was 137 years. And the sons of Ishar, Korath, and Nepheg, and Zichri. And the sons of Uziel, Mishael, and Elispan, and Zithrit. And Aaron married Elzebah, the daughter of Amminadab, the sister of Nashon, and she bore him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. And the sons of Korath, Asher, and Elkanah, and Abizeph. These are the families of the Korites. And Aaron's son Eleazar married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the house, the father's households of the Levites, according to their families. It was the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring out the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their hosts." They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing out the sons of Israel from Egypt. It was the same Moses and Aaron. Now it came about on the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I speak to you." But Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? Thus reads the word of God. Exodus 6:2. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. We are at a most vital statement from the Lord God Almighty to Moses and to the nation of Israel and to you and to me. This is not something that we will just casually read and forget. The Holy Spirit, in His inspiration, caused the writer of this book to record for all posterity the fact that God is the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, the I Am. He is the Lord. It is imperative that we know God in the character and the nature of the fact that He is the Lord. In this morning's reading, this is emphasized over and over and over again. God related to Moses that He was revealing Himself in a manner that was not known to that point in His relationship with men, not even with Abraham. It was now, in the presence of Moses and Aaron, that God was making Himself known as the Lord, Yahweh, the only and the almighty and the everlasting one God of eternity. Please note that the Lord was so emphatic on this point that He made Himself known to Moses in terms of what He would do as the Lord for His chosen people. This is the nature of God that is so imperative in our lives, because it is the very basis of our salvation and eternal life. If we do not know God as the I Am, the Lord God, Yahweh, then we truly have nothing to hold on to in the course of our walk on this earth, or for all the ages upon ages that will follow the end of time as we know it. Notice just how much God incorporated into this knowledge of Himself as the one true living Lord. Exodus 6:6-8. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. First of all, is the fact that He makes Himself known to us. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord. He does not make us guess or wonder or wish or imagine. He makes Himself very known and very real to us in the manner in which He manifests the veracity of Himself in our lives. We know beyond any shadow of doubt or any mental reservation when God has made himself known in our hearts and minds and lives as the Lord. This is a very key truth that we dare not just dismiss as a theoretical emphasis on my part in this message. If there is anyone in this room who has not come to know that God has made himself very truly and expressly and personally known to you as Lord, please spend this time, this very instant, asking him to do so. It is a matter of eternal consequence if we do not come into this personal and real relationship with God. He is Yahweh. He is the Lord. Everything else in life is subordinate to that fact. This is the very instruction that David gave to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28:9. And be very certain that it carries the same penalty if we fail to do so. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. God is very willing and ready to make himself known in all his power and might and salvation to those who will seek to know him. He works to bring us to the place where we want to know him more and more each day of our lives. It's a very sad thing that it often takes such miserable circumstances and situations to cause us to want to know God as the Lord. That was the case with the children of Israel in their bondage under the hand of Pharaoh. This had to be reinforced by Moses to those very people who were eventually delivered from their slavery. We find this emphasized in Deuteronomy 4, 29 and 30, as Moses instructed the people in the manner in which they needed to utterly rely upon and obey the Lord God Almighty. He laid out all the benefits and all the blessings that they would receive as they honored the Lord. Then he told them all the curses and the diseases and the plagues that would befall them if they turned their backs upon God and sought after those gods of the heathen nations surrounding them. It was very apparent that God knew the choices that they would make as a people who would seek after their own selfish lusts and cravings. However, rather than just leaving them in their slavery of exile, God made a continued promise to them, voiced in these instructions of Moses. Deuteronomy 4, 29 and 30. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and listen to his voice. It is so often in those times of grief and distress and anguish and absolute hopelessness that God makes Himself known in the most living and vital relationship as the I Am, the Lord, the God of salvation and deliverance. He will be found by those who seek and want to know Him, even after we have utterly exhausted every other hopeless and useless avenue for help. And the writer to the Hebrews adds the final aspect of how we come to know God as the Lord, in the fact that God Himself supplies the faith needed to know Him. Hebrews 6:11. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. It takes the very faith of God, given by Him for the express purpose of showing us who He is and what He has done, through the death and resurrection of His only begotten Son, to accomplish our salvation and our deliverance from all the shame and chains of sin and death. By His own faith, we are brought into His presence and into the knowledge that He lives and that He is the I Am. Let us now recognize the second reality of knowing God as the Lord, Yahweh, as He Himself told Moses in our reading. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. It was as the Lord that God Almighty would deliver His people from their bondage and slavery. They would come to know Him in His power and in His strength and in His omnipotent deliverance from everything that they had known in their lives of subjugation and brutal enslavement. It was as the Lord that God would bring all the plagues upon that nation of Egypt to effect the release of His people. Not only would He work to cause them to find freedom from their slavery, but the Egyptians would send them forth with all the spoils and the treasures that the Israelites could carry. God's powerful work would be so effective that everything of value would be added to the treasury of the knowledge of who He is and how much He does for the sake of His own glory. His deliverance would not just be unto freedom from their enforced labor, but it would bring with it the entire treasury that God had promised from of ages of old. He would perform exactly that which would accomplish His eternal plan and purpose in His people's deliverance. It was faithfully as foretold to Abraham in Genesis 15:13-14. And God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. The next truth of the fact that God is the Lord, the I Am, is that He is the Redeemer of His people. He wanted them to know that He was the one who would redeem them unto Himself. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. He would be the one to accomplish the great task of the redemptive process through His manifest power and might to bring forth their salvation. He wants His people to know Him as the Lord, their Redeemer, who loves them, loves us so much that He will do everything required in order to make atonement for us and to bring us into the relationship as His own holy people. Job knew this truth as he related to Bildad the Shuhite in Job 19, 25 and 26. "And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last He will take His stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God." Job held to the certainty, no matter what was taking place in his physical deterioration, that God was his Redeemer and that He lives. This is the key to our knowledge, as knowing the Lord is our Redeemer. Nothing can dissuade us otherwise. We know Him, and we hold to Him with all our hearts and mind and strength, just like Job. No one and nothing can remove from us the certainty of who God is once He has revealed Himself unto us as the Lord, our Redeemer. The Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, clearly and continually declares the knowledge of the great I Am, Yahweh, as the Redeemer of His people over and over again. Isaiah 41:14. "Do not fear, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, declares the Lord. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel." He makes it very evident that the Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, in whom they are to fully and completely put their every trust and hope. There should be no fear that He will not be their deliverer and their atonement, as He has fully proven Himself from the days of Israel's release from slavery to Egypt, and over and over and over again throughout all His dealings with His people. Again in Isaiah 43:14 and 50, "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and will bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, into the ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." This is a concise call to His people to recognize Him as the Lord, as Redeemer, as King. He is the Holy One, and He is to be honored and recognized as such in the midst of all calamities and issues. God is omnipotent to save over and over and over again. In every situation and in every dealing with every enemy. God wants His people to know Him alone as Lord and Savior, the Redeemer, the Holy One. Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. There is no other God. The I Am, Yahweh, is the only true and living Lord God Almighty, in whom is life and rescue and atonement and redemption and freedom from all the slavery of this realm. As He lives and proves Himself, so are we to know Him in that capacity as the altogether holy and glorious One, the first and the last. This is carried forward into the New Testament as the atoning power and awesome redemption of the eternal plan and purpose of God was fulfilled in the giving of His only begotten Son. Everything of the Old Testament, in terms of God's revelation of who He was to His people, is absolutely manifested and completed in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:13-14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. The unqualified power of the triune Godhead worked to redeem us unto Himself in all His glory, and all His grace, and all His mercy, and all His love through the death and resurrection of His Son. This reality of Yahweh as our Redeemer should work in us that which will show forth our personal relationship and knowledge of God, as detailed in our final passage this morning. If you would all please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 21, so we can read it together. 1 Peter chapter 1. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you address as Father the One who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Amen. Our knowledge of the I Am, Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty, will have a definitive effect in the lives that we live on this earth. As He opens in our lives the fact that He is the Lord, so will we be recognized as His people. There will be an evident difference in the manner of our conduct with others in our realm of influence. We will show forth the increasingly more perfect heart of Christ in all our dealings with others. His life will be more clearly in evidence in our every interaction as we become ever more livingly knowledgeable of God as the Lord. Lord willing, we will continue with the further look at some of what is involved in God's revelation of Himself to us as the Lord. So be it. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord." Amen.